may close our eyes then.
Our
Heavenly Father, our Lord and our God, we are thankful this morning that we come to you in the name of Jesus. Our Lord, bless now the reading of your word, the preaching of your word. Open our eyes that you may see, our ears, spiritual ears that you may hear, that you may be enlightened, encouraged, corrected, rebuked in any way. Also that you may be challenged to know your truth. In Jesus' name, we all say amen.
Amen.
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I greet you, brethren, in the name of Jesus. I'm grateful to see all of you here. Those who come for the first time, I'm grateful. Those who are already always here, I'm also grateful. And if we may now dedicate these few minutes for the word of God. What is the reason for you to listen to a sermon? Obviously, it is to be instructed, to be corrected, to be challenged in some way. Then it is that your faith may increase. That you may know God more and His plan of salvation, that you may know it fully. And that is the reason why you listen to a sermon. The hymn we just sang says, "Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power?" It's a question. Do you like to ask questions? I personally do like to ask questions. And I believe it is good to ask questions. And some of you, if I never asked a question that what is your name, I would have known what your name is. So the reason why people ask questions is because people want a clarity. People want to understand a particular issue in life. People want to be certain about some issues that are going on in their lives or in the surroundings where they are. The question I want to ask this morning, which is our text, or part of the text, who shall dwell in the presence of God? Who shall dwell in the presence of God? It's a very important question, which I believe each and every person should ask himself, especially those who claims to be Christian at least, shall need to ask this question. Who shall dwell in the presence of God? That's why I said questions are very important. My little daughter known to ask me a question. Yet, why do you have hair on your chin but you don't have hair on your head? In other words, I have a beard but I'm a bald head. It's a good question my daughter wants to know. Even the adults, you people sitting here, you've got questions that you ask at times. Good questions and silly questions at times. How can I make a better living for my children? If I join this church, what is my benefit? What am I going to benefit? If I pass away, if I die, am I going to meet my grandmother? We ask questions. And this psalm before us today, Psalm 15, if we may open Psalm 15. It begins with the question, who shall dwell in the presence of God?
So
I would like you to open Psalm 15 and keep it open. Then open Isaiah chapter 6 and keep it open. We shall deal with these two texts this morning. The psalmist is asking a question, a very great question, which each and every individual should be concerned about. Who shall dwell in the presence of God? Who shall be found in heaven? Who has the right to worship in the presence of God? He's not asking names, give me names of those. No, he's asking what kind of a person should I be? What characteristics should I have to be in the presence of God? In other words, he's so concerned that, oh Lord, what is the standard of righteousness set before me that I may enter into your kingdom? What are your house rules, oh God? Is your house rule, are your house rule achievable? Can I achieve them? I think each and every person should be concerned and ask that question himself. Who shall dwell in the presence of God? So we shall read Psalm 15 from verse 1 to 5, and we shall read Isaiah 6 from verse 1 to 7.
Morena, ke mang ya ka dulang ka tempeleng ya hao? Ke mang ya ka a ha tabeng ya hao e halalelang? Ke ya misama e senang kodi, ya e santse e lokileng, ya bua nnete e tswang pelong ya hae, ya sa etseletseng ka leleme la hae, ya sa etseng mahahabo hampe, ya sa tlameletseng wa gabo, ya nyedisang ya kgopo, empa a tlhompha ba tshabang morena, ya a ka senyegelwa ga a kwenyegele kano ya hae. Ha a dimane ka selete go iphumanela phaello ha a mohele tsotso go a hlola ya sna mlad ya etantsena a ke ke a tsitsinwa le ka motsa.
Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speak the truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears in his own head and does not change, who does not put up out his money at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved.
Isaiah 6 from verse 1 to 7. Mopheto wa saparo sa hae o tletse tempele. Dirafime di ne di eme ka odimo go yena. Mme serafime se ne se tena le maphelo a tsheletseng. Ka amabedi se gomeditse sefatlhego. Ka amabedi se kwaetse maoto. Ka amabedi se fofa. Di ne di hueletsana di re, o wa halalela, o wa halalela, o wa halalela morena wa mabotho. Fatshe lotlhe le setse tlotla ya hae. Modimo wa lentswe la seoletsang wa fisinge ditshia tsa menyako, mme tempele ya tlala mosi. Ya ba kere, a nna e lwang, ke madimabe ga kakang, ke kimetse, ke motho ya puo dimpe, mme ke phela a ka setšhaba sa dipuo dimpe. Matlho a ka a bone kgosi morena wa mabotho. Se seng sa dirafime sa go fela go nna, ka tsogong la sona se tshwere lešala le kgenneng leo se le ogileng a letareng ka letlao. Sa ama molomo wa ka lona, sa re lešala lena le amme molomo wa gago, molato wa gago o tlositswe, mme o tshwaretswe sebe sa gago.
We shall stop the reading and I'll explain a little bit later about this.
Re tla fela mono bala.
The question, Lord, Who shall dwell in your presence? Who shall be found in your heaven? Let me give you a little bit of where we're coming from and where are we going. I want you to have an understanding of the presence of God. And I want you to have an understanding of yourself. That's my aim. And I want you to have an understanding of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. God's presence was tasted at Mount Sinai by his people.
Where
God gave them the law. The Bible tells us when God descended on that mountain, no one could come closer to the mountain. Not even animals could touch that mountain. Anything that touched the mountain died.
Yes,
even human beings could not touch the mountain. Only Moses was given the access to go to God in that mountain. We see the presence of God in that mountain. But then God gave an instruction to Moses to make a tent where God shall meet with the people and Moses. And when Moses wanted to meet God, he could enter in his tent, and the cloud came, and God stood on the outside, and they communed. I'm going to repeat something that you need to catch. Moses was inside the tent, God was outside the tent. Then God commanded Moses again to make a tabernacle a little bit bigger. And in the tabernacle, there was a place called the Holy of Holies. And the Lord dwelt in the Holy of Holies inside the tabernacle. And this time people were outside. No one could enter the tabernacle. Actually, where we call it the Holy of Holies. The question says, who shall dwell in the presence of God? And then the priest could enter once a year to atone for the sin of the people. And then the priest must prepare himself perfectly before he can enter, or else he dies inside the holy place, the Holy of Holies.
Because of the
presence of God. They could put bells around his waist so that when he walks inside there, they can hear if he's still alive. Then they could put a rope around his leg so that if he dies inside there, they may pull him out because no one can enter into the presence of God. So we see this kind of distinction between the presence of God and people. We see that people could not just approach the presence of God. And the psalmist is asking the question then, who shall dwell in the presence of God? Who shall enter where God is? And the question is twofold. He continues and asks, who shall make a permanent stay in the presence of God? In other words, who shall make it to heaven
Now let's go back. Who shall dwell in the presence of God? Where there is peace and happiness. Where there is fullness of joy. Where the Lamb of God is the light. Who shall dwell in the presence of God? So I'm going to divide our study into 3 points in order to get the answer of who shall dwell in the presence of God. We need to understand first what kind of a place is the presence of God. How can we find ourselves there? What are the characteristics of those who shall dwell in the presence of God? So we shall look at the remarkable holiness of God. One, the remarkable holiness of God. That will answer to us what kind of a place is the holy place. Secondly, we shall look at the importance of self-introspection, personal introspection. Then we shall look at the grace of the cross of Christ. In Isaiah chapter 6, we are introduced to the presence of God, what it looks like. We see the remarkable, the incomparable, unequaled holiness of God. God is revealed in His glory. The sovereign King is seated on His throne in majesty and splendor. We are told He is seated and highly exalted. I want you to remember the question, who shall dwell in the presence of God? He's seated, and we are told that His robe filled the temple. We are told first that the angels, in Isaiah chapter 6, he read, the angels covered their faces and they covered their feet in the presence of God. In other words, they stood there in reverence, in humility, in the presence of God. They cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, holy is our God. Brothers and sisters, if that is the attitude for the angels, the angels, holy angels, are covering their faces and their feet in the presence of God. Then the psalmist is for the right to ask, who shall dwell in the presence of God? If people could not even touch a mountain when God descended on the mountain, then the psalmist is for the right to ask, who shall dwell in the presence of God? Let me remind you of God's attitude towards His holiness. We all remember the story in the Garden of Eden. Then in the Garden of Eden, there was the fullness of the presence of God, and there was the fullness of joy. God's presence was enjoyed by the people until the people sinned in the Garden of Eden, remember? I want you to look at the attitude of God. One, when people sinned in the garden, God chased them out. He chased them out of the garden, the holy garden.
Secondly, he put an angel to guard against this holy garden so that men cannot enter again.
So there is this attitude in the mind of God towards His holiness. When there is sin, sin cannot approach the holiness of God. Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ hanged at the cross for our sins. Remember the attitude of God when the sinless Lamb of God carried upon Himself the sin of His people. The Bible in Matthew 26, verse 46, it tells us, it says, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? When Christ put upon Himself our sin, the sinless Lamb of God, God forsook His Son. He left Him to suffer in pain at the cross. God has a bad attitude towards sin and against His holiness. He chased people away. And now the question, who shall dwell in this presence then? That caused us to introspect ourselves and look at ourselves. Because now we have seen the presence of God. We have seen this remarkable presence of God. Nothing can come in. Isaiah is found in the presence of God in chapter number
6.
But Isaiah is telling us that the natural man is so sinful that he cannot stand in the presence of God. Look at verse number 4, Isaiah 6. That's why I said we must keep our Bible open. Chapter
4.
Look at verse 4. Who is me? For I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips. Not only that, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Who is me?
Okay.
I am a sinner. I am a man of unclean lips. I am a liar. I am a cheater. I am a hypocrite. I am hateful. I am unkind. I am unloving. Do we see the presence of God? When Isaiah looked at the holiness of God against his wickedness, he's crying out, who is me? But brother, it's not only him. It's not just me. I also live among people of unclean lips. The people I live with each and every day, like Oliver, they are sinful before God. My mother is a witch. My father is a drunkard. My boss is a Muslim, maybe. He says, I live among these people. And now I find myself standing in the presence of God and I'm shivering. You see, Isaiah tells us, brothers, that the problem is not out there. The problem is in here. The problem is within us. That's why he says, who is me? Who is my people? Who stands unclean to my God?
Then who is going to remove this curse from me?
For
I am lost, I am doomed. Because the presence of God and my wickedness, they clashing right now. And we are told in verse number 7, it says, as he stood there, not knowing what to do, knowing exactly there's nothing he can do, he stands there. And the Bible says the angel of God took a tongue and took coal from the altar and put it in the mouth of Isaiah. The 7 says, and the angel touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. This has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sins is atoned for. Your guilt is removed. Your sin is removed away from you completely and it will never be counted against you anymore. As soon as the man realized himself he was sinful before God, the angel came and put a coal in his mouth.
Brothers
and sisters, let's go back. Who shall dwell in the presence of God? Here is Isaiah now. He is now welcomed in the presence of God. The reason why he's welcomed now is because somebody else did something to him. Someone needs to do something in your life. There is nothing you can personally do for yourself. The only thing you need to do for yourself is to cry, who is me? And when he cried, the angel of God flew and cleansed him. When he recognized his sins, then he was found right to stand in the presence of God. We see now the grace of God, brothers. It was the grace of God that brought Isaiah to the presence of God. It is the grace of God that brought you from your house to this place. But it was also the grace of God that Isaiah was cleansed, his sin was removed.
We
need the grace of God. Now the question, who shall dwell in the presence of God? We look at the life of Isaiah afterwards. We realize that the one who shall dwell in the presence of God is the one whose sin is removed, whose guilt is taken away. Because God was able to use him afterwards. If you look at verse 8, God started to use him.
How about verse 8?
For us to be used by God, for us to find ourselves worshipping in the house of God, something else must be done. A dramatical change must take place in our lives.
Our sins must be forgiven.
But how do I see that God has forgiven me? How do I know that I will spend my eternity in heaven? When your life is being cleansed from sin, when your guilt is removed within you, Then you know. But then there are characteristics of those who shall dwell in the presence of God. That is why we go back to Psalm 15 again. Open Psalm 15, we go together. In verse 2, we find three answers. We find three characteristics. One, someone must be blameless before God. There must be no fault found in you. I'm not saying you will be perfect, but you will be striving for perfection. You will be living a life in this world of godliness. Because Christ has now cleansed you from your sin. Now you qualify to stand or to be found in the presence of God. So what am I saying? What am I saying? I'm saying a life of a Christian must be different. Secondly, we see that one must, his life must be characterized by righteousness. In other words, we need to be those who does the will of God. We must be those who live by the biblical standards set before us. We want to be those who shall dwell permanently in the presence of God. Thirdly, we are told that you must be one that speaks the truth at all times. In other words, no hypocrites, no liars, no unclean lips. In other words, the information that Christians give us must be reliable. We must be able to trust one another if we want to be trusted before God. Fourthly, it's one who does not slander. In other words, one who does not live by gossip. Brothers, we need to consider these things. It is in the Bible. If you are a gossiper, you're standing in fault. You're not standing right before God. We need to change our attitudes. It says one who does not gossip. Not someone who spread lies about his neighbors, about his friends, and speak untrue things about his friends. Number five. It must be one who causes nobody else pain. In verse number 3, you can see that one who does not cause people pain. It is a wonder, brothers and sisters, how today we call ourselves Christians, but we go out of our ways to make sure that we hurt other people. People plan how to hurt you. If I can do this, he won't like it. Then let me do it. How can we live like this? Brother, this is time that you look up to Jesus. The one who took upon himself the pain that he fought upon himself. We need to stop causing one another pain. In any way. Number six, it says, one who does not bring reproach to others. In other words, one who does not blame other people. He does not discredit other people. You must not discredit other people. People who work so hard to find fault with one another. Remember the question, who shall dwell in the presence of God? And I explained to you the holiness of God, the sinfulness of people, and the one that brings us now to God is Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ brings us to God, this is the kind of people we need to be. Number 7, they hate evildoers in verse 4. In other words, they hate what sinners do. They don't associate themselves with sinners for sinful purposes. It doesn't mean you don't have friends who are not Christians. It just means that when you have friends who are not Christian, you don't associate with them in doing sinful things. How can you know?
They don't stand in the council of the ungodly. They don't sit in the seat with the scornful. They don't walk in the way of sinners. Number 8, they honor their vow. Brothers and sisters, we need to honor our vows.
When you make a vow and say you will do something, you need to do it.
When you give your life to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I am yours, you are mine, you need to keep your vow.
When you make a vow to your husband, to your wife, until death do us apart, keep your vow.
How is that can hold to Muna or if you don't keep your vow, you will not be found in the presence of God. Number 9, they don't lend their money at interest. You know what? What a shameful, a disgrace that we find these days. Christians.
Babu Mashonisa.
Christians. A Christian is borrowing his pastor money at interest. What a shame. A pastor is borrowing his congregation money at interest. What an insult to God. There's no longer peace and harmony in the house of the Lord because we are kolotan. The Bible forbids if we want to find ourselves in the presence of God. We need to be blameless, righteous, speak no lies in the house of the Lord in the presence of God. Number 10. Last one. They cannot take a bribe. They don't take a bribe.
In what way? Not easy. These days, the leaders, they take five.
They take the side of the one that gives more tithes and offering. They take the side of the one that looks like he's more active in the church, maybe he's teaching a dancing team in the church.
Brother,
don't take sides. That is those who shall find themselves in the presence of God. Let me cut and say, then we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ descends from heaven. The Holy One of God comes into this world.
Morena Jesu a tswale ho timo a tla le fatheng.
He makes his tent in this world.
The Bible
tells us the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He lived a life of righteousness. The Bible tells us that he entered into the presence of God once through his own blood. That whosoever believed me now will be able to enter. He died at the cross for our sins. He arose on the third day. He ascended into the heavens, and they were told, now he's seated at the right hand side of God, where those who believe are seated right now. I'm saying these things, brothers, because I know many of us here, we used to go to churches. But have you realized that it is not just going to church that will save you before God. We need to stand blameless before God.
Because
God is holy. You cannot approach God in your sin. You cannot even claim to be used by God while you're sinking in your sin. In other words, my friend, when all said and done, when we come to the end of our life, after we have recognized the holiness of God,
now we love one of the lady Bamujimuna.
Have you introspected your life?
Now we love to our Kashabo Pulobahao now.
Have you find the grace of the cross?
Now, Oshoti Mahao, what is on to want to talk on the side?
When you look at the holiness of God, did you see yourself as a sinner in need of salvation? Or you saw yourself as somebody just okay?
Now we lay upon our other mother, Oshoka Mahao now.
I'm saying this because I know people don't like it when you say that.
But
we are all sinners. The Bible says
if
we say we have not yet sinned, we are lying. That is why, brothers and sisters, we need the grace of God each and every day of our lives. We need to look up to Jesus and call upon his name to be saved. He is the only one that's holy, the only one that's righteous. No lies was found in him. He died for the sins of those who sinned against him and killed him. Lord, who shall dwell in the presence of God? Who shall be found worshipping in spirit and truth in the house of God? Who shall be found enjoying a peaceful and happy life in heaven? Those who sins are forgiven. Those whose guilt is taken away. Those who have realized that God is holy, they are wicked. Those who look up to Jesus, call the Lord's name and be saved. The Bible says, come to Jesus and have life. Those who are in Christ, stay in Jesus and have progress and prosperity in your life. May the good Lord bless you. May you please meditate on this. This is a very important subject in my heart. I would rather have no answer for anything else, but if I can have an answer, who shall dwell in the presence of God? Heavenly Father, our lovely God and our Heavenly Lord, thank you even this morning for the reminder,
Who shall dwell in your presence? Those who have found your grace and find forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have looked upon themselves and saw that they are in need. Like Isaiah who said, "Who unto me?" Lord, we are thankful to be reminded of these things. These are the things that most of us we know. But, oh God, we forget them. Thank you for reminding us even this morning in the name of Jesus. May we all say amen.
Amen.
Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all times, and now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Bazalwane, sithelela lapho okanamhlanje. Njengathi inkosi yomusa ingasibusisa. Who shall dwell in the presence of God? Modimo Antonio Lopez.